Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Call his wife in. How we doing? 4:05 on this Thursday morning. How's everybody doing out there? We're getting ready for football. We'll touch on that in just a minute. And we got two baseball teams right now who clearly the Yankees are going to the postseason. The only question is whether or not they'll be able to hold on and have those three games at Yankee Stadium. And I still feel pretty confident that despite yesterday's loss, and despite the idea they've lost 8 out of 10, despite the idea it's down to two games in the loss column, I still think that's a difficult number to make up in only 10 games, especially when you look at the schedules the other teams have and how good they are, which isn't very good. I think the Mets have an excellent chance of making the postseason, so I look at both these teams, and I'm trying to figure out what their weaknesses are and where they'll be. And last night on display for both teams, for me, are problems with the starting rotation. Because, yes, we all know Max Fried and Rodon for the Yankees, 1 and 2, no problem. We've had the discussion about where to deploy them. We could have that again later. Plenty of time for that. But you're trying to make up a decision on who's your Game 3 starter between Cam Schlittler and Luis Gil. And yes, Luis Gil and Cam Schlittler have both pitched well over the last month for the most part. Luis Gil just had 5 no-hit innings against the Boston Red Sox, but he has shown a propensity of being wild. And both of them over the last 2 days were unable to get out of the 5th inning with big leads against the Minnesota Twins. Doesn't exactly breed a lot of confidence in the third starter you're going to throw in a postseason series when they give up 9 hits and 5 runs and can't get out of the 5th inning with big leads against a lousy Twins team that has already sold off all their pieces, is already out of it, has no reason to play. The Yankees have owned over the last handful of years, and that's the kind of performances you get from two guys who right now are battling between who's going to be the third starter. Doesn't make you feel all that warm and fuzzy about that position. And then, of course, you get to the Mets where David Peterson, again, the game last night was, I mean, he has that blow-up inning where he hits Cronenworth to start the inning, walks Tatis, the bunt single from Arise, and then the grand slam that breaks the game open and really is the death knell in that game last night from Machado. He's been as bad as there has been in Major League Baseball. If you make a start every 5th day since August 5th, you're a better pitcher than David Peterson has been. That's how bad he has been now for a month and a half. And for weeks, for a while now, it's pretty much been, well, once they get to the postseason, you're looking at McLean, who's your ace all of a sudden. This young rookie pitcher is your ace. Probably, you know, either Manaea or Holmes, and now you have the combo, and David Peterson. David Peterson has been Peterson will be part of it. We trust Peterson. He's been the guy you referred to as one of the three in this hopeful wild card series, and now it's to the point where last night they're being, you know, the manager's being asked whether or not he's going to make another start. You've got Tong on the mound today in what is now the most important game of the season. You know how I know? Because they're playing it. Every game now becomes the most important game of the season. You got a young kid who didn't get out of the first inning his last time out. I mean, you're jamming starters together, And it feels like right now you're going into a three-game postseason series, if you're lucky enough to get there, and I think you will be, throwing two rookies and a piggyback situation. As talented as these teams are, and as much as I do believe in the get in and get hot, I'm worried about the Yankees' third starter. And I'm worried about who the hell the Mets are throwing in games two and three. They are hanging on to McClain as a savior, which is a tough spot to put a rookie, no matter how good he's been over his first seven or eight starts. And the one mainstay, the one guy you felt could give you innings, the one guy you felt has really kind of stepped up over the last year, the homegrown Met, one of the best left-handed pitchers in the sport from the beginning of last year through August of this year, is now being asked whether or not he's good enough to make another start. That's a major problem for the Mets. That's a major, major problem for this rotation, which is already in shambles. And the idea of throwing two rookies and a piggyback up against the Dodgers in a three-game set in Dodger Stadium doesn't make you feel all that good. The offense battled a little bit, a couple home solo home runs. We saw almost a second home run from Soto just foul down the left field line. And then, of course, as the tying run in the ninth with an opportunity to have one of those great moments that he's kind of been missing despite having a terrific season, he hits an absolute bullet right at the pitcher, ends the game, and the Mets now have lost 8 of 10, follow up that two-game winning streak with a loss, and now are looking to save this series with Tong on the mound, who didn't get out of the first inning the last time we saw him. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the football in just a bit before we leave, as obviously the Jets have a new starter already in week three. And the Giants are taking on what has been the best team in football over the last 4 years. Three-time defending AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs, who enter the game Sunday night against the Giants 0-2. Trying not to go 0-3. They've never gone 0-2 before in Mahomes' career. I doubt very much he's going to go 0-3, but what can this offense, what can this team show you against a much better defensive team than the Cowboys that makes you feel like they're building something here? 888-808-1019. Let's go to Hector in the Bronx. What's up, Hector?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. Can I make two points?
Yes.
I got a McMahon point, and then but first I want to get something that I saw online. I'm a sucker for baseball talk and rumors and stuff like that.
Sure.
I saw something about trying to get like letting Rice play first, like you said, and going after Kyle Tucker and signing Bellinger, and then using Spencer and maybe Dominguez for a trade package for whoever, let's say. I want to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Okay, so it's to sign Bellinger and Grisham? And then trade?
No, the signing, they were saying going after Kyle Tucker and signing Bellinger.
Oh, yeah. No, Kyle Tucker, I'm sorry. I don't think they're going to sign Bellinger and Kyle Tucker. I don't think there's any. I don't think they would put that much money. Now, I know they're saving money at first base that they probably had earmarked for a big contract with Ben Rice. I doubt very much that they would go sign Kyle Tucker and Bellinger. I'd be surprised if it's both, because those are going to be. You're talking about. I got to look at the free agent list again, but Tucker heading in. Now he's not had a phenomenal year, but Tucker heading in was clearly the biggest free agent coming up this season. And, I mean, with the way Bellinger's played, I mean, you're talking about two of the biggest free agent signings of the offseason, playing both in the outfield along with Judge. I doubt that the Yankees would be willing to pony up for both of the two possibly biggest free agent contracts of the offseason.
All right. And my other point was McMahon. I really like the fact – at first I was kind of sour on it. Like, I feel like we settled for something less, but
yeah. –
His glove is stellar. I'm okay with that. And if you look at Bregman, like, his glove is just as good as his. And I think Red Sox overpaid for Bregman big time. $40 million for a guy batting 270, like 50-something RBIs.
I mean, we'll see how he plays. He's got hurt. The 50-something RBIs, he missed a lot of time this year. He's a great player. You know how you're going to find out if they overpaid or not? Because he's got an option to opt in or opt out. And if he opts out, you know that he was worth it. Because he wants to hit the free agent market again. And it comes down to how he plays in the postseason. He's a winner. He's won championships. He is a winning player who plays well in the postseason, and that's where you'll find out whether or not the Boston Red Sox wasted $40 million. Now, the only issue with McCann for me is this team right now, I am more than happy, especially with the two best starters and most important starters being left-handed pitchers, I am more than happy and willing to sacrifice any offense for an excellent defensive third baseman. Without question, there's enough pop in this lineup. The lineup's deep enough. The offense is good enough. I am willing. And, he comes through occasionally. He got the base hit with the infield drawn in this game to give him the big extra run. He's not a disaster, although he's not very good offensively. Hasn't been, at least this year, with the Yankees. But I am more than happy to have a subpar offensive player in exchange for a brilliant defensive third baseman, especially with my two best pitchers being left-handed and with how deep this lineup is. My only issue is I don't know what this lineup's going to look like next year. Is Trent Grisham coming back? And if he is he going to be the same player? Is Ben Rice going to be the same player? Is Bellinger going to be the same player? Is Judge going to stay healthy? Is Stanton going to stay healthy and be the same kind of player? Like, I don't know what I'm hoping it'll be good, but I don't know what the offense is going to be next year. And to go into the season where I'm looking at a third baseman under contract here making pretty good money, so he's going to be the starting third baseman, and to have him be as poor as he's been offensively this year, I don't love the idea of going into next year with an offensive third baseman this challenged as what he's been. Now, he's had traditionally other years that are better than this, but as a Yankee, not great offensively, I don't love being locked in to a no-offense, all-defense third baseman next year. This particular team, at this particular moment, no problem, happy to have it. Entering next season with it, don't love it. Don't love it. Steven Bayside, what's up, Steve?
What's up, Chris?
What's going on?
Well, my main question with the Yankees heading into the playoffs is going to be which of the starters you're going to put in the bullpen. And I think I haven't heard anybody really talking about it, but Cam Schlittler, his previous high in innings was 120 just last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's already, I think, in the 130s after his last start.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cam Schlittler probably profiles best as the guy that you could throw out there. Everybody talks about his poise.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I'm not so worried about the innings, although it's an issue. I think that two reasons I would go Luis Gil as of right now. I mean, there are 10 games left. We'll see. But I would go with Luis Gil for two separate reasons. One, I do agree with you that Cam Schlittler and his 100-mile-an-hour fastball, that he's been a little bit more consistent throwing for strikes than Luis Gil has. I think he profiles better to put in the bullpen. And Luis Gil, as a starter, has shown more of an ability to work out of jams. Yes, he puts guys on, but he has consistently, outside of last night, done a really good job of being able to work out of jams where I don't know if I trust Cam Schlittler just yet. First and second, nobody out. I don't know how that inning's going to go. I have a better feeling about Luis Gil getting out of that inning than I do Cam Schlittler, and I do think Cam profiles better in the bullpen because he's a little less wild, throws strikes, and pumps it up to 101, 102 if he had to. So, like, I think that's why I lean Luis Gil to be my third starter.
Yeah, and I'm also, getting back to the innings, I'm concerned that Schlittler might run out of gas at some point. And don't forget, this is probably, I guess you'd call this May right now for Luis Gil. Given that
he started.
It's about May right now for him, so he should be just hitting his stride. I think he had a little bit of a dead arm a few starts ago. You saw his velocity dip, so he should be in good shape. Yeah,
they also, whenever a pitcher gets lit up the way he did in that Toronto game, or at least had as many good at bats against them, you always hear about the tipping. They talked about it on the Yankee post game. Apparently, they were talking about how they went through the film and didn't see anything obvious about tipping. I don't know. I just think he's a young kid who, when in that kind of situation, it's tough to battle through. He's got no experience, nothing to lean on. He's out there on his own doing this for the first time in his major league career. And sure, when everything's great and you're going through a lineup and you've got your great stuff and your secondary stuff is moving and you're getting swing and misses, anyone can go. You know, he's got good enough stuff where if that's the case, he'll go through anybody. But when you're facing the Blue Jays and they're on you and they're battling and you've thrown 30 pitches in an inning and you're exhausted and it's not something you've typically done because they probably don't let you do that in the minors, suddenly you have a problem. Phil and Howell, what's up, Phil?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Hey, listen, I was, you know me, I'm a diehard Met fan. But anyway, I was watching a game last night.
Sure.
And, you know, the Mets battled back, okay, despite the grand slam by Machado. Mm-hmm. And they battled back, and it's 6-4 in the eighth, right? I mean, I don't understand the manager's thinking. He's bringing in their two worst relief pitchers that they have for the eighth and ninth inning. I mean, like, they have no shot at winning. I just don't understand his logic. Now, the logic the day before is when he pitched home four innings, and then he brought in Manaea for five innings. I thought that was a great move.
Well,
I mean, that was a really good move.
Well, that was a pre-planned thing. It wasn't like he said, oh, let me go to Manaea here. I like the matchups. They went into the game knowing that's what they were going to do. And they're going to do it again. They haven't decided whether Manaea is going to start and then Clay Holmes is going to come in, but the two of them are going to be attached kind of moving forward here. I wouldn't even be surprised to see it in a postseason series. Now, I hear what you're saying. Again, they're losing the game. You're playing a bunch of different – you're playing a stretch here of a lot of games in a row. You do have a lead
a little bit. You're playing playoff baseball.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you can't pitch these guys.
I understand what you're saying, but you do have a two-game lead. You have to win the next game. You can't just keep going to the same relievers over and over again to protect a two or three run deficit. Like you can't throw Diaz out there to make sure the game you lose the game by two instead of four. You just can't. I get it. And let's be honest, Stanek was one of their better relievers in the postseason last year, and just had a great performance to get through the 10th without giving up a run. Now, again, gave up the home run here. Helsley didn't even give up a run. Soto came in and gave up one hit and a walk, but got out of it with two strikeouts. Like, when Peterson only goes five and you're down big, who do you want him to go to? I know it's playoff baseball. I get it, but it's really not. It's not a win-or-go-home. It's not a win-or-go-home game. It's not a must-win. It's not a playoff game. You got to win the next games. They're not going to throw guys three in a row or do something like you just can't keep throwing Diaz and again, how many different guys do you trust? How many different arms back there do you trust? Who does he go to that you feel really good about? You going to go to Rogers every game? You going to go to Brooks Raley every game? You might need them today to hold on to a lead. Oh, we can't use them today because we used them last night to make sure we only lost by two. They're not going to do that, even now. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll do a little football on the other side, as obviously we got to talk about the Jets quarterback situation. As Justin Fields is out, and it's funny because me and Fleas are talking about it, couldn't stick with Aaron Rodgers. He gets hurt too much. Took 3 weeks. Already got Aaron Rodgers playing longer than Justin Fields.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Real sports talk for real fans with real opinions. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
428. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. We've done a lot of baseball today. We'll start moving towards football, as obviously tomorrow is a Football Friday, week number 3 in the league where they play. Football. And obviously, the Jets will be without their starting quarterback. Justin Fields has been ruled out, still in the concussion protocol. And you will get Tyrod Taylor to start the game against the Bucs down in Tampa. And like I was saying all offseason, once they signed Justin Fields, I was kind of under the camp of, let's be honest, I don't think there's much of a difference. I don't. I shouldn't say that, because there's a difference. My thought would have been, I don't see the Jets winning or losing any more or less games depending on which one of those quarterbacks plays the season. Like, that's how I felt. I felt they had Tyrod Taylor already on the team. Signing Justin Fields didn't impact wins or losses. That's how I felt. I am not a big Justin Fields guy. He played incredibly well in week one. Better than I thought he was capable of playing, quite honest. That's how impressed I was with week one. And then week two, we saw a lot of the same things that have been an issue for him his entire career. Consistency, inability to throw accurate footballs, quite honestly. And I know there's not a lot of wide receivers. I understand everything about this team. That's why I don't know if any of it made sense. And the one thing I'll say now that might differ from my original opinion, I suppose, after watching the games the first 2 weeks, is Tyrod Taylor is not a statue, but he is not a mobile quarterback in the same vein as Justin Fields as of right now. And it feels like to have an offense like they did in week one and to go down to Tampa and beat this Bucs team and keep up with that offense, who's going to throw the football down the field, and Baker Mayfield is going to, you know, rip your guts out if you give him the chance, as tough as he's proven to be over the last 2 years down in Tampa. The run game and the ability of the quarterback to be a part of it feels so important to having a functioning offense the way the Jets want to run it, that I am concerned. But as far as throwing of the football, as far as, you know, Garrett Wilson having a big day, as far as hitting the tight ends, as far as operating the offense outside of the run game, I think Tyrod Taylor's as competent or more so than Justin Fields. And I think you could, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know how much different I feel about this team. I don't know how much better I would feel about this team going to Tampa if Justin Fields was healthy. And, you know, as far as that goes, I know I made a couple of subtle jokes, and even Aaron Glenn wanted to talk about it and call Tyrod Taylor not a celebrity quarterback, which feels like sort of a shot back at Aaron Rodgers, who had things to say after beating the Jets in week number one. But, you know, we talked about when I was spinning the wheel of quarterbacks all offseason, trying to find a quarterback better than Aaron Rodgers for the Jets to sign, all the pushback I got was, bro, he's 100 years old. He'll never stay healthy the whole year. He'll never stay healthy the whole year. Well, running quarterbacks have that issue too in the NFL. Quarterbacks who take a pounding, quarterbacks just in general, how many backup quarterbacks are playing this week? Like, how many backup quarterbacks are playing this week? 6? Obviously, including Tyrod Taylor. So, like, and we'll get to some of the sound and some of the things the coach had to say in a little bit. But as far as winning the football game, I'm not sure how it impacts it. I don't think all that much. And if they play well, and here's the other thing, and I heard, you know, Evan talking about this, and I completely agree with him. Like, if you're going to talk about culture, and you're going to talk about building a winning culture, and you're going to talk about accountability and everything else, and I know you don't want to lose your position based on an injury, if Tyrod Taylor goes out there and they perform well with him and amazingly enough win a football game, there is no decision. There's nothing to think about. There's no decision to be made. If they play well, Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback of the New York Jets for as long as they play well. That's got to be what it's about. It can't be about the contract you gave a young kid. It can't be about, you know, finding out what you have here. It can't be about, is he the future? It's got to be about the right now. It's got to be about what gives you the best chance to win. And if you go win a football game or, you know, put up points and play well against Tampa, and Tyrod Taylor plays well, then he's your quarterback. My only fear is the same thing I have about Justin Fields and what we saw as the backup of the New York Giants is, can Tyrod Taylor stay healthy? Unfortunately, this guy gets hurt constantly. Some of it his fault. I mean, not his fault. Some of it completely not his fault with, you know, pain or, you know, injections piercing his lungs and some of the stuff that's gone on in his career. But just the way he plays the game, he has not. That's how we know who Tommy DeVito is, because Tyrod Taylor could not stay healthy. And that's the one fear of having him as your backup quarterback. In the room, excellent. On the team, excellent. On the roster, excellent. Knowing what he is, who he is, and doing everything he can to help the starting quarterback, excellent. Step in, play well, excellent. Understand this league, won in this league, been a starter in this league. It's as good a backup as you can have. And that's why I'm not overly pessimistic about their chances any more than I would have been if Justin Fields plays. But the problem is, I don't trust him to stay healthy either. Not in a game, not in a stretch of games. Not for a quarter. I have no idea. He has been unable to stay on the field. But he's going to throw the ball down the field a hell of a lot more accurately than Justin Fields does. He's going to present problems to a defense that Justin Fields does not. He's going to also be limited in presenting problems that Justin Fields does. So we'll see. But ultimately, again, for a team that I'm not sure we had playoff aspirations for a team that I never once believed signed their future quarterback when they brought in Justin Fields, I don't think this is a situation where I feel any different about heading into this third game of the season with Fields or with Taylor. I don't. Other than the run game and how they want to operate and what they've built and the offense they built can't be done the same. But again, it's more about seeing this defense. To me, the way they've played the first couple weeks, and we'll play a cut of Allen that just, I mean, Glenn, excuse me, Aaron Glenn makes me just laugh. But this defense has got to be a hell of a lot better. And Baker Mayfield and this passing attack is explosive. And if they're in a game, which I suspect they will be, because I don't think Tampa Bay is good enough to just blow them out. At least I don't suspect that. If they find themselves in a game, this defense is going to have to stop Baker Mayfield going up and down the field. That's what I'm looking for, because offensively, I have no idea what we're going to see. I have no faith that we're going to see anything of significance. I don't think we're going to see anything to make me think they can put up legitimate points. It's going to be about this defense and how they play. I mean, Tyrod Taylor should be able to limit the turnovers. I mean, that's what I would tell him. Go out there. We're going to try and pound the rock. Absolutely. We're going to try and run the football. Don't turn it over. And our defense better play their ass off for the first time this year. And hopefully Baker Mayfield, who's a little bit of a gunslinger out there, makes a couple of mistakes. And Sauce Gardner can play a hell of a lot better and more like he did in week one than week two. And for what, you know, maybe the second time in his career, get an interception. 888-808-1019. Let's go to the calls. We go to Bob and Edison. What's up, Bob?
Morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Morning, Chris. How you doing?
Can you hear me? Yeah, no, I do. I feel like I'm in echo. You said the exact same thing. Good, Bob. How are you?
Good. I want to talk Aaron Glenn.
Okay.
I've been a diehard degenerate Jet fan for 55 years. No expectations at all this year, but I wanted to see if Aaron Glenn can erase the losing culture, the losing stench of this organization. Because, let's be honest, it's been not bad, it's been brutal.
Yeah.
And week two, it was only 1 week, but it scares the bejesus out of
me. Well, sure.
for a number of reasons. A, the team didn't come to play. B, his talk about accountability really goes out the window when he brought Michael Clemens back in after his egregious penalty.
Yeah.
And his feel of the game when he refused to go for it on fourth and one in the second half.
Yeah.
Is alarming. And his answer to that, at the post-game press conference, I mean, he has to be better than that. I mean, Jed, listen, like I said, I'm a diehard. I'm not just a casual fan. It was alarming. I mean, there was no difference between what he did and Bowles and Gase and Salah.
No.
I didn't want to put Ulrich.
And thank you for the call, Bob. That's probably an unfair. Ulrich was in over his skis and was asked to also still be the defensive coordinator. He's in a tough spot, but clearly wasn't up for it. I agree with you. I think week one, we saw a lot of promise. Week two looked exactly the same as we've seen prior. His decision not to go for it and punt that football is something we have seen from the Jets coaching staff for a long time. And again, I think this is an example. Now, I'm sure many people can point to other examples of where accountability really made an impact, but I'm not saying accountability isn't important. Obviously, accountability is important. But look what happened. After game one, where you lost a heartbreaker that you had every opportunity to win the game, and you lost it because of a fumble, you lost it because of a bad penalty, you lost it for the same reasons you've been losing games for forever. Even though it looked promising, even though it was an offensive explosion for the Jets and one none of us really saw coming, and they played extremely well, they still lost in the same manner that the Jets have lost so many games over the last decade. And in the post game, to make the comments about accountability, and if you're not here, if you aren't helping us, you're not going to be here, and all that, and then to stamp those words and to cut Gibson and to send the guy who cost you the game packing and make it very clear mistakes will not be tolerated. Accountability. And then they show up and give you that effort. After all the talk, after all the accountability, after all the culture building, after everything, after we're not going to tolerate people who don't help us win, and here's proof, sending shockwaves through the locker room. Oh man, this guy's serious. I better go out there and play. That's the effort you got the following week. Accountability is important. It is not a cure-all. It is not the answer. It is not nearly as important as so many of you seem to think. It isn't. It's not you can have plenty of accountability and be a lousy football team, and the Jets proved it on Sunday. Now, I know we all want, Michael Clemens cut as well to further go the accountability. And, the coach is talking about his body build and, he's the perfect body build for a football player and, they'll work on it. It's easy to cut the 18th string wide receiver who occasionally returns kicks for you. That's easy to cut. And you can't just keep cutting people. But amazingly enough, accountability didn't just magically produce an excellent product on the field. And it didn't keep guys from making mistakes or getting their ass kicked. But you talk about the coach. He said a couple of things over the last couple of days. I want to play one that just, because it's not to just get on him. It's funny a little bit, and it's just talk. It doesn't mean anything. Like the other day, we didn't get this one lined up, but he was talking about the building process and the Legos, and it's Coach, what are we talking about? It's about winning football games. And nobody thought, so play that one. We'll play that one first, and then we'll play the other one about, how fast ships turn around. But here's the one with the Lego.
To the fans, everybody expects this, when you just start, okay, we're going to the Super Bowl. But we've all played Legos before. And we all know that, man, you have to make sure everything is aligned, and you keep stacking it day by day by day. And to me, that's how I look at it.
First of all, you play with Legos. You don't just play Legos. It's not a game. But that's nitpicking and just me being a jerk. But, like,
if you really want to nitpick, I don't think Legos is the plural.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just Lego, yeah. No, I mean, but honestly, no one expected you to win a Super Bowl. No one knew, and we'll get to the next cut where he talks about how long it takes the ships to turn around. Like, no one expected this team to suddenly win 10, 11 games. We knew it was a process. What we thought was eliminated, or what the fans expected from you, Coach, is to not have the performances that we've seen time and time again over the last decade, and that garbage football we saw on Sunday. I thought we all could expect competitive football on a weekly basis, not to win every game, but to build on things, to build on the positives and continue to eliminate the negatives as the season went along. And maybe we were all, you know, spoiled with the first performance of the year and that offensive performance you got against Pittsburgh. But to follow it up with that crap, no one's talking playoffs, but you can't get worse as the season goes along. And you can't continue to give us garbage football. And that was every bit garbage football against the Bills. Every bit. And so now this was him this week talking, you know, in euphemisms and this was yesterday. And saying things that, like, what are we talking about?
Big ships turn slow. All right, so man, every day we're going to chop wood to make sure we get the way we need to get it to. And I'm not expecting this to be just the wholesale turn of events and things are just going to be like, you know, we'll be the number one defense in the league. But the thing that we're going to do, we're going to focus on those things we have to do to get better.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. Don't expect miracles. We get it. We get it. He's really laying that on thick. We get it. Big ships turn slow. We're going to chop wood. We get it. And maybe we'll see that. Maybe we'll see this week down in, you know, for the first road game of the year, bonding as a team on the road, going down to Tampa and playing well with a team that's 2-0, and it's hard to win three games in a row in this league. So maybe we will see better. But we get it, Coach. No one's expecting a Super Bowl run. We're expecting competent football. We're expecting you to know you can't punt down 20 points in the fourth quarter on 4th-and-1. That's what we're expecting. And, you know, no one cares about, I mean, he's either giving you, I got to watch the tape, or he's giving you analogies of ships. And like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. Bottom line is I can, you know, we can criticize all the comments in the world. The team has to be better. And now he's playing without a starting quarterback. He's playing without the offense that they designed, which was so successful in week one and so miserable in week two. He's got to go out there with Tyrod Taylor and find a way to go play a good game against Tampa Bay. And that will shut everybody up. And no one will talk about his ship analogies. And no one will talk about him calling Tyrod Taylor a non-celebrity quarterback, trying to get back at Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, is still healthy and playing in week three. Go out there and play a competent football game. And it's really the same thing for the Giants, too. Like, no one, even though this has been a 4-year ship trying to turn around, they've been trying to turn this ship around for 4 years out in, you know, with the Giants. No one's expecting a Super Bowl run, but what you can have is what the Jets did. You can't have a week and a game against the Cowboys that, yes, ended in heartbreak, yes, ended with another 60-plus yard field goal as time expired in regulation to break your heart, unlike any other team has had to experience. You can't follow up that offensive performance where Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards. You can't follow up that and get absolutely your doors blown off. I don't care who you're playing. I don't care if it's the Chiefs. I don't care if it's the Eagles. I don't care if it's the undefeated Patriots. I don't care who it is. You got to find a way to build off of last week at the bare minimum.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, just a couple minutes here, rapid fire style. Let's get to the calls as quickly as we can. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
So condescending, correcting two times today on the show. Chris, I know you don't like your opinion challenge, but that's what we do.
Of course, you're going to
talk about tanking in a couple of weeks. And,
Giants? I don't think so. No, not for the Giants. For the Jets, maybe, yes.
Okay, hold on. Here's the logic. If they go 0-6, right, you'll say they don't need to tank because of Jackson Dawe. But where you're wrong is, what about the left tackle? You act like you only tank to get a quarterback.
Yeah, it's the main reason.
You need a left tackle. You need an offensive line.
I understand that. They drafted 1 7th overall with Evan Neal.
You need a new GM then, aren't you, Chris?
I mean, I guess. We'll find out.
And the last thing.
Yeah.
The last thing is, at face value, a kicker in this league is more important than like a linebacker, right? You know, like, you see every game. There's always,
I hear what you're saying, yeah.
I'm talking about an all-star kicker. So here's my thing. I did this on my 11 online social group, so I really want to know what you thought. Brandon Aubrey. His, like, how valuable he is. For the rest of this year, you can keep him, right? Or you have Micah Parsons. Like, I'm just trying to make a point.
I'd rather have Micah Parsons.
Really?
I'd rather have Micah Parsons. And I didn't cut you off early. I want to try and get as many calls as I can. And the other reason why, it's not just about necessarily tanking for a quarterback or no other positions, because we've seen it, right? What's his name with Washington? Chase Young. There was like the tank for Chase Young. We've seen edge rushers, you know, if there was like an app, like it, but it's more about with the Giants, I wouldn't root for tanking because I want to see the young kid win. I want to see Jackson Dart come in, play well, and win football games. That's why I won't be rooting for tanking necessarily with the Giants. It's not just that they don't need a quarterback. It's that the quarterback's going to play. I want to see him play well. The Jets is a different story. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right, this Met thing is going to obviously go down. I mean, it looks like the American League, it looks like Cleveland's making a move, might be too late.
Yeah, they've won really six in a row, and I think they've won something like 12 out of 14 or something.
Yeah, they've made a big move. You know, sometimes it's just too late. And then you got three in vying, and you know, with in the National League. So, you know, it's a big start for Tom today. I don't know what we see with him. The kid was very emotional. I don't know how he handles it. Hey, listen, real quick with the Giants. I like what I saw offensively. You know how the dynamics change so drastically, Chris, with getting the ball on the 35 and these guys kicking 70-yard field goals?
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be like you get the ball at the 25, you got to get down to the 40 of the other team
right, to
maybe get a 57-yard field goal. Now it's 70, and I thought that they played so terribly defensively. They were very soft. And you know what? I'm tired of, they should have won. It was a great game. But
sure, that
would have been such a dynamic win for them. So now we're going against KC. And the bottom line is, KC going to be 0-3 versus the Giants?
No, it's very hard to think that. It's very hard to think that. And my only pushback, and it's not even a pushback because I agree with what you just said. But the only thing that's like, you said it would have been an exhilarating win, but I'm so tired of this and the defense play. Like, if he misses the 64-yard field goal, we're all celebrating. Like, that's the difference. He makes a great kick. Oh, my God, the Giants are the Giants. He misses that kick. Woo-hoo, they beat the Cowboys. Can you believe this crap? Like, it is that fine a line. But I don't disagree with you. I'm sick of the losing. And, you know, for a couple of days, I felt like, hey, as bad as it was, at least we saw some offense. And it's hard not to feel that way. That's the low bar they have set. And they better come out and show me the same. It better look. I understand it's a better defense and certainly a better defensive coordinator. Like, they better come out and at least look like a football team. I want a competitive football game. I don't care who it's against. I want a competitive football game. No one's expecting them to win, but show me a competitive football game against the Chiefs, who aren't the same, by the way. Mitchell and Fort Lee, my man Mitch. What's up, Mitch?
Hello, Big Mac. First of all, how did the kids like the baseball when you came
they
on
loved
the next
them.
One?
Thank you so much. Yep. No, they both have them. They're on the dressers in their bedroom.
That's great. Number two, with the Yankees, Big Mac, you know, they think baseball should be ashamed of themselves for how they're starting the playoffs in October. It's a Jewish holiday, and it's really wrong that they're playing on the most holiest holiday for Jewish people. It's really wrong.
I didn't even. I gotta look into that. I guess they are. What day are they starting? Monday? Or Tuesday is the first game of the wild card? Tuesday wild card, yeah. Well, the players can't control that. The Yankees can't control that. We can't control that. So that is, that's the first time I'm hearing that. I'll look into it. Thanks for calling, Mitch. Right as the music, that's become a tradition. Mitch yelling over the music. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Tomorrow's a football Friday. I'll be with you at 2 o'clock to do it. Enjoy the rest of your day. Warm-up show's next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
1019 FM, WFAN, New York.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.